Well, good morning. It seems this is a rarity today because actually Pastor Marcy and I are both here today. As you know, I've been helping out over at St. Andrew's about twice a month. And that's all a part of who we are as Christians as we participate and provide and help others who are in need at a moment. And that gives them a little bit of consistency. And I have to tell you, every time that I'm there, whether for a meeting or for services, there's always someone who will say, please thank St. Luke's for allowing you to come and be with us. You are establishing goodwill, and you're establishing wonderful things that are possibilities for ministry in the future, and we're already beginning some of those things by just simply having our Saturday services together. Yesterday, for the first time for a long time in the summer, we had as many as, I think, 35 or 40 that were here last night. So that was pretty amazing. And that's what happens when you're able to do things together. So how many of you are you going out to eat after service today? I know a bunch of you go. Well, don't be bashful. How many of you are going out to eat afterwards? Okay. How many of you have eaten before you came? I would hope the rest of you did. Don't want you passing out in the service today. So where do you go after service? Where's the popular spot? Just shout it out. Mr. Burger, okay. New Beginnings. Anybody go to Brandywine? Yes, okay, good. Arnie's, okay. Anybody else? I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Oh, hey, Anna's, yes, of course. How could I forget that? Okay, so you all go to different places. It's a special time. Usually after services on Saturday, Judy comes with me on Saturdays, and we'll go somewhere afterwards. It's usually not for breakfast because that's around 6 o'clock, but hey, breakfast can be any time. Our favorite places are to go either up to Cedar Springs Brewing, which is a little bit of a ride, but it's close to home, or we go over to the golf club at Boulder Creek, courtesy of the Cicalas who introduced us to that place. There's all kinds of special places we like to eat. And one of the things about that is that we keep going back, don't we? Right? Because we need to be refilled and we need to be energized and we like that idea of being able to go out with other people and we can have fellowship and share and we grow and we learn about those things. Today's gospel reading is a continuation of last week's, where we had Jesus sitting down on the hillside with about 5,000 people and they were wondering how in the world the disciples were wondering how in the world Jesus was going to feed all these people. And he took those loaves and the fishes that the young boy had, and he passed them out after he kept breaking and 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 breaking the bread and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking the bread. And he passed it all out, and they had their fill. They had enough. And that when it was all done, they brought back 12 basketfuls of leftovers. That's pretty amazing. And so what happens is, in that process, it says that they wanted to make him king because they were amazed at what he could do. And he heard that, and he slipped away. But he couldn't get too far because they found him again in today's gospel reading. And as they were looking for him, and it's like, how did you get here? Didn't you know we were looking for you? And Jesus is very clear to them about the fact of why they're looking for him. They're not looking for him because of a sign. And again, that wording for the Gospel of John is indicating when he says sign, it's a different word for miracle because it's a sign that points to Jesus as the Son of God. And he says, you're not looking for me because I am the Son of God. You're looking to fill your bellies because you were made full. And then there's a conversation that ensues after that. And like anything that John does, he keeps putting layers on layers and he keeps peeling back a little bit of it so that the people are drawn into the conversation with Jesus, and before they know it, what they started out talking about ends up being something entirely different than what they intended. Jesus says, you're looking for me because you want to have more of that bread. But I will tell you, I am the bread of life. And they don't understand. And it's amazing because they say, give us a sign so that we know that you are this person that you say you are. After he had just fed them with these few loaves and fishes, they still want a sign. It's because they're looking for something That's not what Jesus is all about. They're focused on something else, and Jesus is saying you need to be focused here. Over here, folks, don't look at the distraction over here, but look at me right here. But our bellies can distract us. There's a lot of things that can distract us, not just our bellies, but you know, our thoughts, things that happen in life, that we get distracted, and suddenly we find we are off the path that God has led us to. It's very easy to do. All we have to do is have some kind of thing that happens or occurs in our life that totally upsets the balance, that knocks us off our equilibrium, and then suddenly we find ourselves in chaos. Something that we cannot control, something that we cannot keep together, because it's beyond us. We can't stop the process of death happening. We can't stop or prevent. We try as much as we can from having disease or sickness, but it still impacts us no matter how hard we try. We may not wish to be addicted, but sometimes it becomes unbearable, the situation, and we become addicted to drugs and alcohol. It becomes out of our control. And then what happens? A lot of times we turn and we blame God. Why are you letting this happen to us, God? Just like the Israelites in the Old Testament. You know, forget the fact that God just led them out of slavery and they're on their way to the promised land, but right now they're in the wilderness, which is not a great place to be. But forgetting everything that occurred in the last few days, all they're worried about is filling their bellies. And because of that, they are already saying it would have been better that we would have just stayed in Egypt because at least our bellies were full. Never mind the groaning and the pain and the endurance of being enslaved by a people that told them how they should live. They forgot all about that. All they were concerned about is we need to eat. They forgot about how God led them out of through the Red Sea, how the sea was parted, and they forgot about the fact that when they got across and Pharaoh's army was following, that the sea collapsed in on them and Pharaoh's army was destroyed. They forgot all that. How do you forget that so quickly? But you do when there is chaos in your life. And so they grumbled against God and against Moses, and Moses goes to God and says, hey, your people are hungry. They're thinking that you brought them out here to starve. And of course, that was not God's intent. If they had just simply understood God was with them and is with them always. But even in the midst of their grumbling, God provides. He gives them bread in the morning and meat in the evenings. And they are filled and they are satisfied. And that will last them for some time before they begin to grumble again because of something else that goes on. And because primarily we turn from God and we turn to ourselves. We think that we can do it better than anybody else. We think we can be on our own. We think that if things don't go right within our worship community, we can just go wherever we want and we'll find the place that will satisfy us. Never mind the community that we leave. That's what happens. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the writer to Ephesians, talks about how we are brought together as one in unity, where Christ is the head, and that we grow together. And as those who gather around Jesus ask him about this bread, and when he begins to speak that he is the living bread, and they say, give us this bread always, and they want to know how it is. You know, what is it that you can do for us, Jesus, that we can understand? And they begin to tell the story of what we just read in the Old Testament about how Moses gave them bread from heaven. And Jesus helps them correct their vision and understanding it wasn't Moses, but his Father who provided. And not only provided, but he uses the present tense. He says, gives you. He didn't say gave you. He says gives you, just as we say today that God gives us what we need. We pray it every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a reminder of how God provides daily. And then Jesus goes on to explain about how it is that you are able to have this bread. And it involves faith, a gift that God gives to us, not something that we personally attain. It is not something that you and I go and we earn or we find our way to achieve it. But just like when Peter tells Jesus after he asks him, "Who do people say that I am?" And he says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." What is it that Jesus says to him? He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because what has been revealed to you does not come from humankind, but comes from God." That's what faith is. And so Jesus points the way to faith for the people to follow. He gives us the same gift today that helps us to get beyond sometimes those troubling things that can cause us chaos in life. You know, it's interesting to me that when there is something that we truly desire, that we truly want in our life, we will do everything and anything we can in order to attain it. If we want to be good at something, we will practice and we will practice until we are the best. So that when in competitions we know that we will place first or second or third among all competitors, not only in the U.S., but in the world. We do that in the Olympics. If we want to be good at math, we study, we study, we study, we work with these things constantly, and we strive to be the best that we can be. If we want to be someone active in an organization and we're excited about it, we will be involved in that as much as we can. But when we are challenged in faith, it's kind of like, this place doesn't feed me. I'm going to go somewhere else. Or we try something different. You know, there are all the new age and new waves of religion that's out there. There are certain things that will say, you know, this is the surefire thing that will get you where you need to be, and it will give you all the answers, and you will have everything in order to be sustained in life. And after people go through that and they will give tons and tons of money in order to be shown a certain way, sooner or later the light bulb goes on and so we're back to God. We're back to Jesus, the head of our household. And because you have this gift of faith, as you focus in on that gift, as you hear the voice of God speaking to you, you are compelled into the community, into this world, to do what Christ lays out before us. We just don't sit idly by and wait for the next great revelation. But God compels us and pushes us out to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked and to visit those that are in prison and to do those things that we've heard down through the ages that the church has always been a part of and sometimes gets distracted as a whole group because of certain things and events that go on in life or certain circumstances that can occupy us, and suddenly we find ourselves over here when we should be right here. And we forget who we are as God's children. We forget, you know, how God challenges us and pushes us to encounter others. We forget the fact that we live in a world that is pluralistic. That is, people come from many backgrounds and many faiths. And that it is not just meant to be as one community in the sense that we're all going to be white and we're all going to be thinking the same way, but we're all going to be different of all kinds of ages and different peoples, from African Americans to Asians to American Indians to whatever else you can think of. We are Lutherans and Episcopalians and Roman Catholics and Methodists. We are all these people who are all under the house and the head of Jesus Christ. We're not here on our own. And when we get frustrated because we see things out in the world that we see are cruel and are things that should not be, when we see our government does things that run counter to what we have been taught, that we are to love one another, then we throw up our hands and we say, "Well, what can I do?" You can do a lot. Even when we get older in life and we find that our hands aren't working and our feet are too tired to carry us to where we need to go, we can still do things. We can pray. We can call. We can communicate with people and talk about God's love. And just like those things that we want for our life, where we will do anything, the world's an open possibility. We are told that faith can move mountains. And I believe that we can move those who are resistant to those things that run counter to what we understand. The decency of treating people as human beings, not as chattel. The ability to understand that everyone has a right to be a part of this community, that they don't have to fill a certain kind of design that says, well, you have to be this way in order to fit in. You come to this place, we welcome all people. We don't sit, and Jesus didn't do that either when it came down to feeding the 5,000. He says, I don't want to see your credentials. He could have. He said, are you from around here? Oh, no, if you're an Egyptian, just go away. I don't want to deal with you. How old are you? How much money do you make? He didn't ask those questions. He simply accepted people for who they were. He saw them as people who needed him, who needed healing, who needed to find wholeness. And we will not see that as long as we are focused inward upon ourselves, because that's not where faith takes us. Faith takes us to look into the eyes of our brothers and sisters, and I'm not talking just about our immediate family, but the entire world, that we can see in their eyes the face of Christ. We can see in them a person in need. That we can see people who are hungry, not as being lazy and shiftless, but as someone who needs help. That someone who comes from a different country is welcome to be a part of our community. Without fear of being thrown back into places that you and I would dare not go. And we can make all kinds of excuses, all kinds of reasons as to why we should do these things. And believe me, you know, you hear them all. But in the end, is that really where Christ sends us? And the answer is no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For all those who have faith will be fed by this living bread, who will have their thirst quenched, thirst for righteousness, thirst for the ability to know that they can be accepted in society, the thirst for being able to do and to explore and to be able to be open in their life without fear of being criticized or ostracized or accused of living certain ways that are unacceptable according to that individual. By being the bread of life, Jesus gives you all what is needed. And in a few moments, once again, to be reminded of that, you will be welcome to come forward. And even though as you receive that host or that piece of bread, and you might think, what kind of banquet is this? Because it's so tiny, and that little sip of wine or that little bit of wine that gets on the bread when you intinct it, how can this be a banquet? It is a way and a visible sign of Jesus saying, I am with you always, and I will give you what you need to live and to not be afraid. For I am with you till the end of the age. The people demanded a sign. You've seen them all. You've heard them all. If you've read scriptures, if you've been here through 3 years, you've pretty much heard the most of the story of Jesus. You already have that advantage of knowing what these things are. Does your faith push you forward? Are you able to get away from yourself? Can you step outside of yourself and just know that God will move you to where you need to be? Because who knows, he might bring you to Grand Rapids. He might take you to Africa or to Nicaragua. He may take you to places you've never been before. He may introduce you to people that you never would have imagined that you would have associated. And you will find your eyes to be open to how amazing a witness that others can be. And if you find yourself broken, whether it's in relationships or because you're afraid, you will find that in faith, this bread of life will give you the strength to get you through those hard and difficult moments. And even when you can't do it alone, that's who we are as a community. And I know right now that even if I couldn't find a single soul here in St. Luke's, which would never happen, that there are those at St. Andrew's who would come immediately to the call of responding. It doesn't matter that we're a different church. And I think it's the same thing, that over there we have folks here who would minister to them as well. It's amazing the way in which God works. He is the bread of life. It is not that he gave them the bread from heaven, but he gives us the bread today. Be fed and be satisfied and be made whole. Amen.